It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free. All on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
Hey, fantasy football owners, I'm Matt Harmon from Reception Perception, a podcast dedicated to the wide receivers. Are you as confident in your flex as you are in your wide receiver one? I didn't think so. So follow Reception Perception on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Thursday night football is almost upon us. You got the Falcons and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers on Prime Video. And I think a big problem that the Falcons are need to solve in this one is how do you get a handle on Baker Mayfield. Over his last 12 games, he's got a 9-3 record, but also he has the most touchdown passes in the NFL over this span, which is his career has been revived in Tampa. That's 25 touchdown passes, by the way, and just 7 interceptions over that span.
Yeah. He's been pretty good. And, you know, I think it's one of the things, and I think it's, we talked about this yesterday a little bit. Liam Cohen, the OC, has been so good at kind of making Baker Mayfield comfortable, I think is the best term to put that. He's really, me and Bo watching earlier, we noticed a couple times, Baker Mayfield, it's like he's playing shortstop. He's like dealing cards back there a little bit, right? He's taking the snap. He's getting the ball out of his hands. Very, very rarely did he sit in the pocket. As a matter of fact, I think one of the sacks we noticed earlier was just a great defensive call. And you had Brandon Graham and that defensive line from Philly just stunt right into a boot, and they get Baker Mayfield on the ground. So I think they've just done a good job making Baker comfortable. He's done a great job, and I don't even know what this year is for him. Is it year 5 of just reading defenses? No.
In Tampa?
No. I'm just meaning his career.
No, it's longer than that. This is like at least year 6 or 7 for him because
– it's not that far off.
Yeah, he's this is year 7.
Yeah. So, I just think they've done a good job of playing into his skill set. And he's honestly incredibly accurate with the ball against the Eagles last week. I think it's going to be a tough task for this Atlanta defense because so many times we talk about getting to the quarterback. They just ain't going to let you do it, man. It's just the bottom line. They're going to move him around the pocket. They're going to do everything they can to utilize protections and move linemen and do a bunch of other stuff that won't allow you to get in the backfield. And even if you do, he's probably already gotten rid of the ball.
This will be the fourth time that we've played him. The third time is Tampa's quarterback, and he's done okay against the Falcons. 6 touchdowns, an interception. I mean, he does a good job, and last year he did a good job of keeping plays alive. Remember the drive in Tampa he gets the big scramble. Now I think we intercept him there late in that drive, but he does a good job of keeping it alive. But look. You can get after him. This is an offensive line that if you can heat up. Denver got, I think, 8 sacks against him. And they hit him early and often, and it changed the game. And then you look at last week, they did a good job, like I think you pointed out, getting the ball out of his hand. Everything was quick. He looked like Mike, you pointed out on the film, he looked like a shortstop getting rid of the ball.
You're going to have to try to get the pass rush going. And so I was talking to you guys about some sack stats earlier. And there are 1, 2, 3, 4 players in the NFL individually that have more sacks than the Falcons do collectively. Aiden Hutchinson, for example, has 6.5, whereas the Falcons are tied with 5 other individual players with just 4 in the season.
I don't know about you, but I just don't think that's a big stat yet. It will be. I just don't think it is yet.
But does it need to be tomorrow? Can you get it going tomorrow with Bo just saying he thinks that they're going to be able to get to the quarterback?
I would love it if they could. I just don't think they will. And I think that you need to play to your strength, which is your secondary, and drop guys into coverage and do everything you can to press, take away the quick throws, take away the underneath stuff, and then just make sure you're manning up on their big receivers down deep. I mean, I would love to say, man, you know what? They need to draw up a way to really get in the backfield and affect Baker Mayfield. I don't think anybody can do that in the NFL right now if Tampa doesn't want them to because, like we just said, everything in their offense is designed – even though they have a freaking Hall of Fame level left tackle, everything in their offense is designed to not put stress on that offensive line and pass protection.
Well, go look at what the Falcons have done all year. They played off. They played off coverage and at cover three. You talk about how much they've been in cover three last week, but they played off and they keep everything in front of them, and then they come up and they make sure tackling. I mean, look at D. Alford, A.J. Terrell, Mike Hughes last week. They made some really good tackles against the Alvin Kamaras and the Rashid Shaheeds of and Chris Olave as well. All three guys who are going to that they can house you if you miss a tackle and they get space. That said, how about this stat? Tampa Bay has 8 sacks on the season. 8. They got 6 last week. Okay, they got 6 sacks last week. So remember, Mike and I were talking, and some rando Philly fan wanted to come at me about how, well, they were missing A.J. Brown and Devontae Smith. No, Philadelphia didn't really look like they wanted to be there last week. I mean, I've watched offensive line play, and I've watched the defensive play alone, defensive line and the defensive secondary. They were shoe-dusting tackles, and they looked lethargic up front with their get-after-it, their want-to, okay? That is not about who you're missing, because the Falcons are missing guys too, and it's all about the want-to of what you did. So all that said, Tampa Bay could come in here last in sacks, honestly, because they had 2 coming into last week.
I do want to self-correct. I think I said 5 players. It's 4 players that have more. But
either way, to your point, it's unacceptable that an individual has more as a team. But that said, Tampa wasn't knocking people's blanks in the dirt themselves coming into last week. So, you can have one good week and jump up that chart, is my point.
Yeah, and look, man, and you know what's funny about it is I was just saying that, like, I don't think that's been a big stat to this point for the Falcons, and it's because of the quarterbacks they've played. They've been pretty hard to get to. So, credit to Tampa for being able to get to Jalen Hurts as many times as they did. I like you said, though, I didn't think that they played in particularly inspiring brand of football when it came to what they put on tape last week. And look, I'm going to actually kick back on that a little bit. I think some of that does have to do with leadership and the guys you're missing. I think if you have Lane Johnson in the fold and you have A.J. Brown in the fold, it's not just about what they're on the field. I think it's about the kind of the attitude they bring in that locker room. I think they are inspired players that have been in a lot of these day games in September. I don't think a lot of people understand how lucky we are as an organization not to have to play in this outdoor stadium in the month of September at 1:00 in the afternoon. A lot of times, right? And it just that's a tough thing. I mean, I was talking about Bama yesterday. They're going to Vanderbilt this week after the game they had last week. They're going to play at Vanderbilt at like 3:00 in the afternoon. It's like, you better not have a letdown game. And I think the Eagles definitely felt like they were having that kind of letdown mode against Tampa last week. So that's always a tough circumstance.
And I understand that. I feel like if I got that many guys that can't control themselves in a September game and step up, that's a problem for me of what the core I've put together. If I miss. And look at the deep. Who are they missing on defense? Because all the guys we just talked about were offensive players, and that didn't help them look any better on defense. That didn't help Jalen Carter and Jordan Davis play hard on defense, or the C.J. Gardner Johnsons in the secondary that were shoe dusts and tackles. So
we're going to take a belt to them.
I would at least expect one side of the ball to step up, but that's the reality of what we saw. I'm not. You tell me. You saw it too. You know?
No, I'm. Did you guys see the clip of C.J. Gardner of Gardner Johnson saying before the game, about to take a belt to him today? He's coming out of the tunnel. It's like, and then they went out and got smoked. I was like, dude, you just see it like you should probably stop talking for a little bit, man.
Just for a little bit.
Well, that guy's never. I look. Got played at Florida where I watch all Florida's games. He hasn't stopped talking since he didn't. I don't know if he's ever. He might have came out of the womb talking trash.
Yeah.
That's like Quinyon Mitchell for Philadelphia. He likes to talk. It's been a
After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device credit service ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Hey, fantasy football owners, I'm Matt Harmon from Reception Perception. Join me and James Coe as we take a deep dive into the position that will make or break your fantasy roster, wide receivers. We analyze route running, target share, and all the metrics that really matter. We do the work so that you can just make smart decisions. Sit back and amaze your friends. Your wide receiver one won't change, but it's the nitty-gritty, it's the flex, and the waiver wire pickups. That's where your league is won or lost. So follow Reception Perception on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
a lot of trash too.
I do want to turn this back to Tampa a little bit though, and talk about some of the players they have. I think that Cody Monk is their right guard, and a lot of people remember him for his headshot coming out of North Dakota State.
Yeah,
he had like the
no
mullet
teeth.
With the teeth, you know.
Yes.
So he's obviously a second round pick to them a year ago. I thought he was maybe one of the worst offensive linemen in the NFL a year ago. And I say that, and I'm willing to voice his name right now because I don't think he's that anymore. He looked much improved. I think him and Luke Gadecki next to each other on the right side of Tampa's offensive line do look much improved. I think Gadecki still leaves a lot to be desired as far as his run blocking at the right tackle spot. And hopefully this defensive line from Atlanta can take advantage of it, because let's just be honest, Atlanta's defensive interior on the defensive line has not been very good this year.
Well, one of the things that worries me, and you pointed out to me, and Mike was explaining to Tiff when we were watching the All-22 of that Tampa game, he kept saying, oh, they're running duo. They ran duo there. And I'm like, explain to me what duo is. Real quick, Mike, explain to what duo is, because this is what worries me about their run game this week.
Well, duo is what I honestly thought that the Falcons would run more of this year. It was kind of a staple last year of the LA Rams. And what you're doing is you're essentially just double teaming anybody that's in a gap. You have a four down front, you're going to get a couple of double teams. You're going to leave the backside tackle kind of on an island by himself, and you're going to try to get a double team with the front side tight end and tackle, right? So you're hoping to honestly get three double teams. And what you're trying to do is you're trying to push the defensive linemen and their butt back into the linebackers at the second level, right? And what it does, your running back gets to going downhill, kind of stutter steps about a yard or two behind the line of scrimmage, and he picks one of those three holes. He tries to work off of those double teams, kind of picks his own route, and just mushes the pile forward. And I saw them run duo probably in the first half last week against Philly, and that's not the team you want to run duo against. I saw them run it probably three times, and they had differing levels of success. But I think that's a play that when you line up against the Atlanta Falcons right now and some of the success they've had vertically run blocking our defensive line, I think that's going to be a staple of what Tampa tries to do this week.
And that's what worries me, because one of the things we've seen is our defensive line not get blown up, but maybe take on these blocks like that, these double teams, et cetera, and then our linebackers have seemed to get washed into everything. Yeah. And they, you know, I've seen Caden Ellis get washed into play. I've also seen it on the other side where Troy Anderson at times has gotten kind of lost. Now, I don't know what Troy Anderson's going to be, if he's going to play. That is why I think Rashawn Evans, who has been signed to the practice squad, will be called up. I think he and Hennessy will be your game day elevations, and I think Rashawn Evans will get a lot of playing time. That's where he's a little bit bigger of a guy than Ellis and Troy Anderson. He might have a huge impact on this game Thursday night.
And I know, too, if we got to get to break. I do want to talk later in the show, too, about J.D. Bertrand and what this defensive line could mean in a good or bad way for J.D. Bertrand if he's playing extended snaps tomorrow.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
Hey, fantasy football owners. I'm Matt Harmon from Reception Perception. Join me and James Coe as we take a deep dive into the position that will make or break your fantasy roster, wide receivers. We analyze route running, target share, and all the metrics that really matter. We do the work so that you can just make smart decisions. Sit back and amaze your friends. Your wide receiver one won't change, but it's the nitty-gritty, it's the flex, and the waiver wire pickups. That's where your league is won or lost. So follow Reception Perception on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.